If you'll open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to look at verse 8:28. If you take notes, I've entitled it Dancing with God, Dancing with God, Romans 8:28. Thus saith the Lord, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Probably one of the greatest verses in the Bible for believers, because as we said just a few moments ago, there's a lot of anxiety in the world. And this verse brings great comfort to God's people who apply it to their lives. Before we look at it, let's bow our heads and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. Holy Spirit, we come to you for understanding. As we look into this text, we thank you for it first, because it's been around for thousands of years in bringing comfort to people who face adversity. Help us to have a better understanding of it. And I pray that as you walk amongst us, again, if there's one here who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we pray that today you might call them into your kingdom. We pray today that you might bring comfort to others. You might edify others, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, even in doing this, that you would be glorified. We know your word never goes out and comes back void. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk amongst us and help us to understand this wonderful text. And more importantly, Lord, help us to find applications in it that we can use in our life. And that too, I would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, last week, we learned the sovereign God has a plan for every life. We looked at Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That verse goes out to let us know that God has a plan for every soul, not just for believers, but for unbelievers as well. But our focus was on the plan that God has for believers. And in that, we talked a little bit about Romans 8:28. This week, I'd like to show you how our lives are orchestrated by God. As I said earlier, or in Bible study, our life here is nothing more than a choreographed dance, a dance of life, a dance with God. Metaphorically speaking, as new creatures in Christ, our life here is more than a walk. The Bible calls it a walk, but it's more than a walk. In essence, it's a spiritual love dance with God. Our music, the music we dance to, is the spiritual songs of love for our Savior. All of us here love Jesus Christ, that know him, love him so much. And it makes a melody in our heart. The Psalms are love songs to God. And our daily steps every day are individually choreographed by the Bible. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm talking now specifically to born-again believers. Our steps are ordered by the Lord. I get up in the morning, you get up in the morning, we say, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. Those steps were already ordered before the worlds were formed. It means everything in our life, good or bad, is ordained by the sovereign choreographer, ordained by God, the sovereign God. Here it is, Isaiah 45:7. I form light, I create darkness, I make well-being, and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. There's nothing that happens in your life that's done by luck, chance, or coincidence. Everything that happens in your life and every other life, saved or unsaved, is choreographed. Now, somebody might be thinking, well, man, that's kind of hard to think about considering all the evil that's in the world. It's true. It is. But you're never going to understand God, because if you could understand his plan and you'd understand him, he would no longer be God. There are many things. I remember when something happened, I forget what it was now, and somebody went up to R.C. Sproul and they said to him, so why did God allow this? He said, how do I know? He's God. And it's true. We don't know, but we know this. Everything that happens in life has been choreographed by God. Everything. Our role in our dance with God is to do two things: to accept the outcome, whatever it is that happens in our life, to accept the outcome of that and to accept it cheerfully, knowing that even if we're suffering, that too is part of our walk with God. Our steps are being ordained by God in everything. And since there's many difficulties in life, every one of us are going to have many difficulties in life. And because that's true, we must deal with life and God, and letting God help us with our text. I said that wrong, but basically what I'm trying to say is sometimes my notes don't make sense to me. I don't know why. I only wrote them, but they don't make sense to me sometimes. What it's saying is that if I'm going through something difficult in life, where am I going to go? Where are you going to go if something is going bad in your life? Where could anybody go with a sickness? We think of our little brother Ian because it's the most recent one. Where are we going to go? You go to a doctor, they're going to do stuff, sure. But where do you get the comfort? You get it from God. Why? Because Romans 8:28 says that everything that happens in that young man's life will work out for his good, including that. That's the note I should have taken. And it's true. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's there for a reason. But the blessedness of it is because we are in Christ, everything will work out for our good. That's not true of the lost. God has a plan for every lost soul. He even says, I take no glory in the death of the wicked. He doesn't. But he has a plan for everybody. And I want you to know that God could not promise us that everything would work out for our good unless he absolutely knew what was going to happen in our lives. That's what it means. Before the worlds were formed, God chose us in him, Ephesians 1:4. So that being said, and even in Jeremiah, he said, I have called you before you were born, before you were in the womb, an eternity past. So that means that he knows every single twist and turn in our lives. So he can say, I know that this week with Angel and the things in his life, the twists and turns that he took, the influences that were in his life, both good and carnal, both, he knew how it was going to turn out, and it turned out for his good. Everything would. And even the things that happen that don't seem to be good at the time and may be painful will still work out for your good. Because the God who cannot lie has promised all things. And if you look up the Greek, the word all means without exception. There's no exception to that. None. The Bible says that God knows our beginnings, our ends to our beginnings. In Psalm 139:16, what Mike just read, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. He knew all of us before the worlds were formed. He knows your birth date, your death date. He knew when you were going to be born, when you're going home. He knew who your parents were going to be. He knew what color your skin was going to be, what your gender was. He knew everything about you, every word that come out of your mouth. So he could say, as the sovereign God, all things will work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And looking at that, and looking at that text, I see four different doctrines that orchestrates everything I just said to you. Beginning with his doctrine, all things work together for good. His doctrine of providence, that's providence. Saying that all things are going to work together for good, he's providentially saying, I'm going to orchestrate your life in such a way and bring you in directions that will always work out for your good ultimately here, ultimately there. Maybe not at that event, but ultimately will work out for your good in some way. How about the doctrine of election to them who are called? Do you realize that none of us make a choice for Christ? That God calls us. You hath he chosen before the worlds were formed. He chose us before the worlds were formed. And that election means that we were called out of the world and into his kingdom. First, we live here. We're being sanctified here. And the doctrine of sovereignty, one of the most hated words in the Bible, to them that according to his purpose. I know it's very difficult for us to understand this or even to accept this, but we don't walk according to his purpose. He helps us to walk according to his purpose. We walk the way we think we're walking, but he's leading the steps. Don't we do that with our children? Don't we have our children? Don't we walk with our children and we show them the steps we want them to walk in? Don't we say to them that it's wrong to do certain things, and aren't those steps of life that we're leading and guiding them into? And there's no difference with God. He's doing the same thing with us. And how about his doctrine of love to them that love God? The only reason why we love God is because he loved us first. Romans 8:7 says that the carnal mind is hostile to God. We were all hostile to him until he opened our minds to the truth. And when he opened our minds to the truth, we saw him as he is and us in relation to that. And we knew we were sinners. He opened our mind. We didn't open our mind. The doctrine of love. He loved you that much. These are the instruments that play in our lives as we dance with God. And God uses them to arrange our life so that everything works out for our good. Now, with all that backdrop, let's look at our text. Look at the first word in Romans 8:28. And, what is it? It's a conjunction, and it refers to something that was previously said. Now, look at verses 26 and 27, the two previous verses. Here we see that the Holy Spirit is intercedes for the elect according to what? He's interceding according to God's will. That means God is guiding believers according to his divine plan. He's a choreographer. He's choreographing our steps in his music sheet for his elect. It's found in Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. Would you turn there? Turn to Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 12. There's 10 things in that verse, in those verses, that shows us the movements that he uses to make things work out for our good. Here it goes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's one, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us, that's two, in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us, that's another one, and to the adoption, yet another one, of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, that's another one, in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, another one, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us, yet another one, in all wisdom, prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, another one, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ. There's 10 things in that thing that relate in those verses that relate directly to God as a divine conductor, how he accomplishes everything in our lives, all of it. Predestined us, blessed us, chosen us, adopted us, forgave us, all of that. And he did it all before the world was formed. So you can say, yes, when something's going on in my life, you know, it's going to leave a mark, but it's okay because I know it's going to work out for my good. It doesn't matter what it is. And for all those reasons, those verses show the word "and" in our text connects our eternal dance with the same dance we're dancing with God right now. You're never going to stop dancing with God. Why? He's in you now. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You're led and guided by the Holy Spirit. So that means that everything that's in your life was put there by God. And so as you go through your life, metaphorically speaking, you're dancing every single day. That really illustrates that God is in complete charge of the dance and the events in our life now and forevermore. We're not in charge of anything. We think we are. We say, well, I made this decision, didn't I? No. You made the decision because God gave you options and he knew which one you were going to choose. He's in charge. I want to say something. That might get home to some people. They might say, oh, that's kind of tough. Don't I have anything to say? No. You're a servant of God, period. You're born again to serve God. You were always born to serve. Human beings were never born to be free. They were always born to serve. But in serving God, you have great freedom. In serving the devil, which is the other option, you have no freedom. You're in bondage. And it's important to understand the distinction between the two. He's in charge, which means the Lord leads, the Holy Spirit leads us, and we follow his dance steps. You're not dancing to your own music, although we sometimes think we are. We're dancing to God's rhythm. Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause Brian to walk in my statutes, and Brian will keep my commandments and do them. That's how you would interpret that verse. You'd put your name in there. And he's saying, Brian, you're doing what I want you to do. You're not doing, and when you do sin, even that was part of the equation, because I'll even work that out for good for you. And we'll see that in a minute. God is leading and he's controlling the dance of life, and he decides how the dance is going to turn out. He decides, not you and I. Now look at the next two words in our text. I love this verse. We know. I told you, when I was a kid, my mother used to say I was a know-it-all, and I agreed with her. But I was only about 12 years old, so, you know, 12 years old, right? We know it all, that's for sure. Anyway, I found out after I got saved, I do know it all. It's right here. I know everything I need to know right in this book. And those two words, we know. Paul, I want you to understand, Paul didn't say this. He didn't say, I believe all things work together for good. I'm persuaded that all things work together for good. Or I hope, for imprint, sure, hope that all things work together for good. He didn't say that. He simply said, we know. Period. What a blessing. What a blessing it is for the inspired word of God to say that you and I can know that we're in God's hand and nothing in this universe can touch you unless God permits it. We know that. Now, what's the application to that? Oh, the application of that is it doesn't matter what happens in my life. If I actually, this actually happened, my car caught on fire. The brakes over, they locked up sort of, and my wheels were on fire. I stopped at a place to take a little walk, and somebody comes running up to me, hey, mister, I was in the woods, and they said, hey, mister, your car's on fire. I said, oh, let's go check that out. So I went out there. Sure enough, he was right. Two of my wheels were on fire. And so everybody's all excited. And I said, okay, let's throw some sand on it. Just threw some sand on it. I'm 30 miles from home. Didn't care at all. But what happened was the car was on fire, and all I really cared about was not losing my peace, because I believed in that moment that car is irrelevant to me. Why? Because the most important thing to me at that time was the peace I had in my heart. I was at peace with God. I was at peace with myself. So if the car burned up, it's okay. You get another car. One way or another, I don't care. You get a bicycle, but you don't ruin the peace. Because I do believe with all my heart that all of that would work out for my good. So after we kick some sand into the, whatever, the brake jobs or whatever it is you kick sand into to put the fire out, it went out. So then I had to go back and forth on along the road there to loosen it up. It was a little tight. And finally, I could get it out. I said, well, let's try getting home. So I got in the car and I started driving. I never caught a red light. I was in a city. I was in Meriden. I never caught a red light until I got on, and I didn't even then. 691, got on 691, took off at Route 8, got off at Route 8 at exit 44, drove up the street, got into my garage, and it locked up. That's a true story. So the point is, if you panic about things, then you don't believe it's going to work out for your good. If you don't panic about it, then you have that peace. You don't give up anything. And that's what the application is in knowing that even that's going to work out for your good. The thing about God not letting anything touch you is in Matthew 8:28-32. Demons couldn't enter the pigs. That's the parable of the demonic with the legion of devils indwelling him. In Matthew 8:28-32, even the devils could not enter the pigs until receiving permission from Jesus Christ. If you read that parable, you'll see it. And likewise, Satan couldn't do anything to Job or his family or his property until God gave him permission. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that that means that when you're in the hand of God, he sifts everything that happens to you through his hand? And it's not going to, being a Christian is not an easy life. It's difficult, very, very difficult. There's things that we have to do that we really don't want to do. But if we do them, there's great reward in them and doing them. And because you're dancing with God, because of that, as a loving father, he will deliver you from all evil, period. Isn't that in our Lord's Prayer? Deliver us from evil. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. That simply means that there's so much evil in this world, and we've talked about this specifically in America, but everywhere really, but we're delivered from that. Is there not a Bible verse that says that we are not children of wrath? We're not. Now, look at the next section of our text. Here our dance with God takes us to the main point. All things work together for good. Again, the word all means without exception. Life is complex, isn't it? Many variables work in our lives. We were talking before about our young brother Ian and the difficulties his family and he faced. They got through it. God got them through it. Hopefully they had that peace during that time. There's illness. There's emotions. We have problems, people with emotions, work problems, worldly and spiritual influences that are evil. The flesh, the sin, all of it causes us consternation. All of it can cause us to be anxious. But the promise in our text is that all things work together for good. Many illustrations of that in the Bible. Many illustrations. How about David? Look at all the things that happened to him. And ultimately, he was still called a man after God's own heart. They worked out for his good. How about Paul? Look at the sufferings Paul did. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you read verses 22 to 33, shipwreck, snake bit, persecuted, lowered in a basket to get away from the king. All of those things happened to him. But it all worked out for his good. He delivers you. He delivered Paul from his enemies. He delivered Peter from Satan wanting to sift him. He delivered Thomas from unbelief. And he'll deliver you and you and you and you. He'll deliver his people from everything. Why? Because he loves you. Do you honestly think that he would send his son to go to that cross and suffer for your sins and then just let you be eaten up by evil or spend your life in misery? No. That's why I tell you over and over again, negativity is a sin. Why? Because our text is telling us it's all going to work out for your good. And I don't care about the stuff that happened 100 years ago or 50 years ago in your life, the trauma that was there, whatever it is, you have to let it go. Not saying you forget about it, but you don't go back and roll in it. Why? Because all things work together for good. There's not one of you sitting here that is who you are that wasn't formed by God's plan for your life and many things before you were saved to make you the person you are today. You are who you are today because of your past. And God has ordained those steps then, and he's ordaining them now. And they'll all work out for your benefit because you are in Christ. You're a member of a royal priesthood. You're adopted into the family of God, the household of God, Ephesians 2:19. It can't help but work out for your good because you belong to him and he belongs to you. Wonderful stuff. But you have to understand that it's not just the words. It's not just the sermon. It's actually an application you can bring home and put in your life every day. Every day. It's wonderful. We need to remember everything, absolutely everything in this life is energized by God's works in conjunction with his dance plan for you and I. His sovereignty makes sure that everything works exactly the way it's supposed to work, so it'll all work out for your good. I got a proof verse for that. Psalm 22:28. Turn there with me. Psalm 22:28. Just one little verse. But it says it all. Psalm 22:28. It says, for kingship belongs to the Lord. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords. That's what it means. And he rules over the nations. He's in charge of everything and everyone and always has been. That means every event in our life is working in concert with God's choreographed plan for your life. Psalm 73:24, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. I'm giving you all these verses because there's so many of them that speak directly to that idea. We see that. And another thing we see about, and I said before that God even uses sin. How about with Joseph in Genesis 50:19, when after Jacob had died, his brothers were all worried that because they know they sold him to the Midianite slave traders. What did he say to them? He said in Genesis 50:19, he said, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." He took their sin and look at what Joseph went through. He was accused of rape. He was in prison for 3 years. And we've talked about that prison wasn't like our prisons today by any means, right? Until he met the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. I say that because I forget what it was. But anyway, he got to meet Pharaoh. And he interpreted his dreams. And when he interpreted his dreams, he became second to Pharaoh in Egypt. And by that, he was able to take Jacob and his 11 sons, some think 52 people, bring them to Egypt to keep them safe because there was a famine in Israel. And they grew to 2 million people. All from the sin of his 11 brothers. He turned that sin into something good for his people, Israel. He does the same thing with us. When you commit a sin against God and you go to him and you forgive him, there's a ripple effect. Every single time you do something in life, understand this, there's a ripple effect, especially with sin. It goes out. It's a larger ripple with sin because sin is corrosive. So you do something, it creates a ripple. That ripple has ramifications down the road. That's what happened with Joseph. That's what happens with us sometimes. How many times have you done something that offended God? You felt terrible about it. You repented of it. You confessed it and repented of it. And down the road, something else happened that was good as a result of you seeing something that you didn't see before. All things work together for good. You got to take that personally. You don't just take it as a verse in a Bible. You have to take that home. You have to plant it in your heart, and you have to bear fruit with it. And you will bear fruit with it if you plant it in your heart and you look at it every day. Yes, that's not going to, I don't like the idea of that, but it's for my own good. And I think of Job. No pain, no gain. And that's especially true with the trials and tribulations of life. That's how we grow. And we only grow because we're saved. If you're unsaved and those things happen, it's punishment. Now, there's no purpose in it. You're suffering for no reason at all. Why? Because you can't grow from it. Before you were saved, what happened when you suffer? I just want to get over it. I don't want to think about that again. That isn't what we do now. When we suffer for something, we know why we're suffering. We thank God for the suffering, and we ask him to help us grow from it. And we do. That's the difference. And the crowning illustration of taking sin and turning it into good is seen in that cross. Jesus Christ took all of our sins, And he paid the price for him. And look at the good that came from it. All of you sitting here and online, you're the good that came from the sin. He turned that, see, natural man hates God, and he turned that hatred into the plan of salvation. Demonstrating, in doing that, he demonstrated the great love and desire he has to want to dance with his children. The last section of the text, we see who qualifies to the dance, to dancing with God. It's reserved for them who are called according to his purpose. This is the great doctrine of election. Sinful creatures like you and I and me, he called while we were yet sinners, he called us into his kingdom. And he paid for all of our sins. And he gifted us with everything. We brought nothing to the dance but ourselves. And we were wicked at that. And he changed that. He made that good. our dance with God began with salvation. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. When you received Christ, you received him because he opened your eyes to the truth, and you received it because he forgave your sins. You knew you were a sinner, and he did. And that dance that you're dancing with God right now is a dance that's going to continue into eternity. Proof verses, John 14:2-3. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you understand that? You're going to heaven. You're dancing with God now. Whether you believe it or know it, you are. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. And that dance will continue to heaven. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing to know that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Here or in eternity, he wants us to be with him. And what are we going to do in eternity? What are we going to do in eternity but have a blessed, a marriage supper of the Lamb, rejoicing. What does it say in Psalm 16:11? At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that what dancing is all about? The Old Testament is filled with it. There's even some verses that claim that God was dancing with joy over his children. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I ask you, who do you think you're dancing with? Who do you think you're dancing with? Only two choices, God or the devil. How do I know that's true? Because Jesus tells us that in John 8:44. He says to those people who didn't believe on him or in him, he said to them, you are of your father, the devil, and it is his will you want to do. So that's who you're dancing with. That's who I was dancing with and who you were dancing with, brothers and sisters, before you were saved. You're dancing with the devil. Don't know it. Didn't believe it. But you are. Listen, we're all sinners. We all know it. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And there's a penalty. We leave here with our sins. The penalty is we have to pay them ourselves. And the wages of sin in Romans 6:23 is death. Spiritual death, which means eternal death in a lake of fire. That's what it means. In Matthew 13:49-50, explains how that happens. He says, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from amongst the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire, the lake of fire. So the dance that you're doing now, are you getting a lot out of it? You better, because right now, that's the best you'll ever do. But if you feel God stirring your heart, if you feel the need to want to be forgiven, all you have to do is repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to save you, and he will. That's all there is to it. Salvation is simpler than changing the oil in your car. I'm sorry, save me. I repent of my sins. I ask you to save me in Jesus' name. Can anything in this world be more simpler? And yet, on the other hand, can anything in this world be more important than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can anything be that way? You should think about that if you haven't come to know Christ. You should ask yourself, what am I holding on to that's worth burning forever and ever and ever? What's worth it? The good news is, if you do repent of your sins, if you do want to know Christ as your Savior, if you really want to do that, God will listen to you. Romans 10:13 says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all you have to do. And isn't that what we ask our kids to do? Forgive, forgive, forgive. And if you were to be honest and you looked in our world today, isn't that really why the world is going to hell in a handbasket? as the saying goes, isn't that the reason why there's no forgiveness? Nobody wants to forgive anybody. They don't want to forgive. They don't want to forget. All they want to do is they want to fight. They want to separate. They want to divide. And that, dear friends, is what evil is all about. And it'd be a terrible thing to leave this world. And I've just said this to people I've talked to about Christ many times. I tell them this. What I just told you right now may not make any sense to you, but the very moment you take your last breath and you transfer from this kingdom into the eternal kingdom, you will remember every word I said. And they will. Why? Because it's too late. They can't go back. It's done. If that's you, and you may think you're saved, you may say, well, I do this. You know if you're living for Christ. And if you're not, all you have to do is tell him you're sorry. Ask him to forgive you. Repent. And that word repent means, listen, that was my old life. I want you. I just want to live for you. That's what repent is. How hard is that? You think about that. And if you want more, if you want to do it, then you see me or call me. Or even if he's stirring your heart, you see me or call me. And I'll show you in his word how he wants to dance with you. He wants to adopt you. He wants to say to you, all things will work together for good for you, because you're called according to his purpose. So call me or see me. For my brothers and sisters in Christ, I close with this. Our text is God's word. Our text is God's word that you are on his dance card. You're on it. It means all of God's attributes, all Christ's works, all the powers of the Holy Spirit, all of them are at work for your good, for my good. All of them are working for that. I leave you with the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones. He wrote something about this text, and I wanted to share it with you. He says, no dog can bark against us. No man can speak or act against us. No sinister power of evil can be against us, but all must be for our good. There is no phenomenon of nature, fire, flood, storm, earthquake, that can work us ultimate ill. The law of gravity cannot trip us up or cause anything to fall upon us unless it has been sifted through the will of God's purpose for our good. Take that home and dance with God next week. In your dance with God next week, know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Take that home and apply it to your life. And then buckle up and watch what God will do for you.